This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, June 11th, 2017, Trinity Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Heed my appeal. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Heed my appeal. St. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, exhorts those who will hear him. The older versions, it says, take exhortation. Exhortation, a synonym for an exhortation, is a warning. Paul warns us that we must listen to what he says. He, throughout his writings in the New Testament, talked to us about, you must listen to me. I have the authority of Jesus Christ, to whom I have spoken. Paul never speaks of himself, but he speaks of what God has presented to him to tell his followers. It is a warning. We must believe the things that God reveals to us about himself. First and foremost, who he is. We cannot pick and choose a God of our own liking. We cannot pick out the parts we like and leave the parts we don't. That is called, in short, idolatry. You make up a God in your own mind that is different than God that has revealed himself to us, and you are engaged in idolatry. You have your own God. I've witnessed to people before, and they say those exact words, this, that, and the other thing. And they respond, well, my God would never do. You are exactly correct, ma'am or sir. Your God would not. The true and living God would. That is truly your problem. You have a God that you've made up in your own mind. It is not the God of the Scriptures. We must accept God for as he has revealed himself to us. And what is very, very scary about our day and age is that somewhere, someone is making a concerted effort to keep us from understanding God as he presents himself to us. It is truly unfortunate. Well, does that mean somebody said something? It means what comes from our lectionaries. I always put you on notice. If you look at your bulletin, and it says, read this chapter and these verses, and then skip down to these verses. That's a problem. Now, it might be for time's sake, but generally it is not. Generally, it is something that talks about judgment or some other thing that they call difficult passages. Today, if you look at your bulletin, Exodus chapter 34, verses 4 through 6, verse 8, what? What's going on in verse 7? And this is a pretty important passage because in those specific verses, God is revealing himself. It's not that he's talking through a prophet. He is with Moses and he says, this is who I am. And in the reading, you got the merciful and the God who forgives. And that is very true. We should be on our faces because that is an aspect of God's being. That is why we get to go to heaven, because we cannot get there on our own. We cannot earn our way to heaven. We can't be good enough. He has to do it for us. Hence, he is merciful. He does forgive our sins. That is not the whole picture. What's going on in verse 7? In God saying, this is who I am. This is what it says in verse 7. Keeping merciful love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. But, these are the words of God, but, who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. I am God, and I take your sin very seriously, and there are consequences to it. 99.9% of Catholics this very morning are not going to hear that verse. That is shame. It is truly shameful to say we can't share with the people what God has revealed to them about himself. We must accept God for who he is, and who he is a Trinity. The Holy, Blessed, and Undivided Trinity. This is Trinity Sunday. Generally, you get a homily about how we can't explain the Trinity, some dogmatic theological treatise on some aspect of the Trinity. Today, I just want you to walk out of here knowing that to believe in the Trinity is what gets you into heaven. If you don't believe in the Trinity, you don't go to heaven. What? That's not what this person said. That's not what this person said. You know what? It's what one of the creeds of your church says. A creed. A creed that, again, something that you hardly ever hear. You heard it today chanted. That was the processional. The Athanasian Creed. It never fails. And it's already manifested itself this morning to me. Every time I mention in a homily the Athanasian Creed, I get, this morning for instance was, Father, this is the first time I've ever experienced a Mass like this. What is this Athanasian Creed? Man was probably 30 years old, Catholic all his life, and didn't know that the Athanasian Creed existed. The Athanasian Creed is as authoritative and as necessary to start salvation as the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. It bears that much authority and that much weight. It cannot be changed. It's Catholic dogma. We must believe it. Well, why don't we hear about it? Well, because it starts out with this. Whoever will be saved, before all things, it is necessary that he hold the Catholic faith. Which faith, except everyone, do keep whole and undefiled, without doubt, he will perish everlastingly. There is people who would get up and walk out if a priest would get up and say those words and not say it's the Athanasian Creed. They might get up and walk out if he said it's the Athanasian Creed. We don't believe that anymore. You can say that as validly as you can say, I don't believe the book of Genesis anymore. I don't believe the Apostles' Creed anymore. You can't say it and be a Catholic. You must believe it. And then the creed goes on to explicitly explain the Trinity as best we can on this side of the veil. And then it goes on to explain faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And after it explains those things, it ends with this. This is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe truly and firmly, he cannot be saved. That's what the Holy Spirit has taught us through the traditions and the magisterium of the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I don't like that. Tough. Tough. That's what it says. That's what you must believe. And we never hear it. This whole idea of the Trinity and our Lord Jesus Christ being essential to getting to heaven is so obvious. It is like the air we breathe, the Trinity. We are immersed in the Trinity. We're so immersed in the Trinity, we don't even recognize it. And by don't recognize, we just hear it so much. It is so prevalent everywhere. It is truly like the air. The air sustains our life. We don't even take into consideration that we walk through it, that it's always around us. You'll know it in a heartbeat if it's not around, because you will die immediately. That's the Trinity. That's the Trinity. The Trinity is throughout Scripture. No, the New Testament talks about the Trinity explicitly, without using that word. But in the Old Testament, he's there just as active. Genesis 1, the first book of the Bible, the first verses. God created the heavens and the earth. How did he create it? God the Father spoke the Word, through whom nothing was made that was made, Jesus Christ. All things are made by him. And the Holy Spirit hovers over the waters of creation and brings order. The Trinity. When Isaiah, Old Testament prophet, has a vision of the throne room of heaven, the seraphim flying around the altar 24/7, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Three holies, one God. Our Lord Jesus Christ comes, second person of the Trinity, eternal and undivided, clothes himself in flesh, and before he goes back to the Father who sent him, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name, singular, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. One name, three persons. Going to get your head around that one? Nope. That's why he presents himself like that. He will not let you for 1 minute be able to explain him. He is God and you are not. That's why he presents himself in such a manner. And it is necessary for our faith. It is as necessary as Jesus Christ. And to buy into this trash that you hear, that people who deny the Trinity or don't have to believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah and Son of God will go to heaven, because we all believe and pray to the same God. It's not the same God. One is has presented himself as a Trinity, and another is denied that he has done so. One's right and what's wrong. Your Catholic faith teaches you what the Athanasian Creed said. If you don't believe in the Trinity, you cannot be saved. If you don't embrace Jesus Christ as the only way to salvation, you cannot be saved. Saint Fulgentius, who we don't hear a whole lot about, he's not one of the biggies, but he does really drive the point home about the whole concept of the Trinity. He says that the Trinity is what the patriarchs and the prophets received by divine revelation before the incarnation, which the holy apostles also received by hearing it from our Lord himself, in which, under the guidance of the Holy Ghost, they not only preached, but also committed to writing, so as to bring knowledge of salvation to future generations. A knowledge of the Trinity and a knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ is necessary to your salvation. But Jesus came and he just died for everybody's sins so everybody can have eternal life. That's not what John 3:16 says. Pagans can rattle off John 3:16 to you, and they are presumptuous in their recitation. Because to them, in their mind, it is, well, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everybody should have eternal life. That's not what it says. It says that whosoever believes in him should have eternal life. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He doesn't have to. The world is condemned already. Everybody that is born into it is born dead in trespasses and sins. We are all gravely ill. Gravely ill. And if we don't get some kind of medicine, we are going to die of that illness that is sin. And that medicine is our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only medicine that you can take. Not my words, his. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should have eternal life. You get all these folks, well, that's not fair. This person didn't believe because of this, and this person just, they're spiritual but not religious. You know, There are many doorways to heaven. Well, that's just antithetical to what Jesus Christ says. But I mean, this whole premise as to I can blame Jesus because he didn't cram the medicine down my throat. It would be like if you were gravely ill with a physical illness. Gravely ill with a physical illness, and you walked into a doctor and he went, yep, you are gravely ill. If you don't take medicine, you're going to die. But guess what? I got the medicine right here. Here it is. Doesn't cost a thing. It's free. There you go. And the person looks at the medicine on the table and goes, okay, and walks out of the office. And then that person on their deathbed, I can't believe you, doctor. I can't believe that I'm dying here. And I went to you and I asked for help. I gave you the medicine. It was free. Why didn't you take it? Blah, blah, blah. Doesn't even make any sense. But that is people's spirituality, or lack thereof. Our Lord Jesus Christ is that medicine for sin. You must, to get to heaven, believe in the Trinity and believe in Jesus Christ and Him and Him alone. If you don't, you don't go to heaven. That's the teachings of the Athanasian Creed. Paul says, take exhortation, heed the warning. The warning is, and this is nothing we should gloat over. We can't be proud of this. We should be on our faces in thanksgiving to Almighty God that He has opened our eyes by the Holy Spirit to embrace something that we don't get, that we can never get, the Trinity. That our eyes are opened through our Lord Jesus Christ and the graces that He pours out upon us. And Paul's exhortation is, in a nutshell, the blessed and undivided Trinity brought into our lives by Jesus Christ is the Catholic faith, which except a man believe truly and firmly, he cannot be saved. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.